Hello, welcome to Mormon Channel Daily. I'm Jennifer Stack. Thank you so much for being here today. This program is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we have a really great show today. I'm joined by author Michael Wilcox, and he's the author behind 10 Great Souls I Want to Meet in Heaven. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for letting me come.
What inspired you to write this book?
Well, I've done a lot of travel, and I've always been interested in history, other religions in particular. So as I travel and try and introduce the groups to different faiths, different cultures, I'm always looking for individuals who inspire and lift so that people go away from a nation or a religion and feel good and positive about it.
And you've taught religion for many, many years.
I taught for the LDS Church for almost 40 years.
What do you love about teaching, you know, people about Christianity who have never really been exposed to it before?
Well, I think of a lot of great people, a lot of great things, Confucianism, Taoism, Buddhism, Islam, great founders. I often say Jesus of Nazareth gave velvet truth. There's a certain softness to the truth that is very, very appealing. It doesn't get any really better than the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, Zacchaeus in the tree, the woman taken in adultery. These are just beautiful stories about the Savior. Beautiful things taught by the Buddha, by Muhammad, by some of the great Catholic saints, St. Francis, St. Patrick, just beautiful, wonderful people. But there is a velvet softness to Jesus' life that I love.
When you were thinking about this book and you were reviewing all of the wonderful souls through history, thousands and thousands of really inspiring people, how did you narrow it down and go, these are the 10 that I want to highlight? And what are those 10?
There are a lot of people, certainly, that you can look at. I aimed at broadness. I wanted representatives from major different faiths, major different ages, and different nations. So there were, 30, 40 I could have picked from. But I wanted them to be representative. So out of Catholicism and Christianity, I took St. Francis of Assisi, St. Patrick of Ireland, and Joan of Arc. Also wanted a balance between men and women.
Yeah.
And then a little more broader, going to the Oriental areas, I took the Buddha. The two of Muhammad's wives, because Islam is perceived to be negative on women, so I wanted them to see, people to see that that's a cultural thing that has developed, but it certainly wasn't in the original experience of Muhammad with with Khadija, his first wife, and after she died with Aisha, his second. So I picked the female perspective of Islam, and then a Chinese sage named Mencius, who was just beautiful because of his belief in the goodness of the human soul. Then I went to a science area. Christians sometimes feel Darwin is an enemy, and so I picked Charles Darwin. I don't agree with all of his theories, but the man was a wonderful man, and nobody loved the creation more than he did. There's a lot we can learn from him. We don't have to agree with everybody and still like them. I'm convinced everybody would have liked Charles Darwin had they met him. He had no enemies. And Sir Ernest Shackleton, who shows Antarctic explorer what leadership is. And then I picked two representative of love, a congregational Scottish minister named George MacDonald, C.S. Lewis's mentor. No George MacDonald, there would have been no C.S. Lewis. And then for love of, that was, MacDonald is love of God. I've often said I want to be judged by George MacDonald's God. I can't think of any writer, Christian writer, Mormon writer, non-Mormon writer, who portrayed God as loving and as fatherly next to Jesus as George MacDonald does. And then husband and wife love, the most, I think, beautiful love story in literature, Robert and Elizabeth Browning. So those are the 10.
I loved that you highlighted them. How did you connect personally with each of these people and their experiences? As you mentioned, you don't agree with everything that these people have to say. You don't share some of their beliefs or their values, yet you saw enough in this group of individuals that you felt like, these are the people that I want to connect with.
Yeah, I would like to have a conversation with all of them. My view of the world is that you are you at your best. A religion is its the truth of it is at its best. But too often we look for the negatives. We look for the motes and beams in people's eyes. We look for that in other cultures, other people, other religions. All these people have taught me something, enriched my life in one way or another, and it is those enriching qualities that have made me a better person because I know a Joan of Arc or I know a Mencius or I've read the love story of the Brownings or I've seen the devotion of Hadija to her husband Muhammad and his leaning on her for so much that has taught me how to be a better Christian, how to be a better individual. We need one another. No one faith, no one culture, no one political system, no one value system has all the answers to govern the earth, to rule the earth in decency, integrity, and peace. We need one another, and I think God spread truth all around the world. I would say Christianity is truth at its most mature form, but there is maturity and much we can learn from everybody. All over the world, and that's what I look for when I travel, when I read about other people. It'd be easy to have another list of 10, you know, and so...
Maybe round two. Maybe book number two. The 10 other people I really want to meet.
The 10 other people, yeah, maybe.
How do you see this conversation going? Because there are a lot of different perceptions and beliefs about what heaven is and what it will look like, and I guess at its most... simple form, children may think of, you know, you hanging out on a cloud with these 10 people having a conversation. How do you imagine that going if you have that opportunity, you know, in eternity?
Well, I guess there are different people that have different ideas of what life after death is going to be. I suppose it's in my perspective, it's a continuation of much that is good here. I think we'll all be somewhat surprised what we find, but I assume that we'll all have opportunities to have some pretty wonderful conversations. The line will be very, very long to see Paul and Moses, you know.
There'll be a waiting list.
Maybe be a waiting list. So maybe I'll sneak over and see St. Patrick of Ireland. He's a very remarkable man and let the line thin everywhere. I don't know what it will be like to have a conversation with them. In a sense, we can have a conversation with them now. Mencius, my Chinese favorite, said, the best people of every age, try and seek out the best people to have conversations with. And you can do that through the past. And he said it's called having friends in history. So these are my friends in history, whether in reality I get to see them sometime after death. The conversation takes place now. I can see their lives, read their thoughts, feel their souls, and be lifted by them.
Is there an excerpt from the book that you would like to share with us today or a part in particular that you think really reaches a broad audience?
Maybe not a particular read, but I open it with an image of the compass, a navigator's compass. It has two legs or two feet. My last gift my late wife gave me was a golden navigator's compass because she knew this was my point of view of life. And a compass has two feet. One foot I call the fixed foot and the other searching foot. If I'm Catholic, I'm going to put the fixed foot. I'm going to believe that truth in its most mature form is in Catholicism. If I'm Islam, in Islam. If I'm a Buddhist, in the teachings of Buddha. As LDS, in teachings of Jesus of Nazareth, as seen through the lens of the Restoration. So we plant our fixed foot in that spot we think truth has reached its most mature form. Question isn't one true church among all the false ones. The question is truth. In its most mature form, where is it? But I have this other foot I call the searching foot. And what do I do with it? Too many people make a tiny little circle around the fixed foot because they don't think there's much out there. So I would say, reach out with a searching foot as far and wide as you can. I don't have to move my fixed foot off my Mormon belief or my Christian belief, to examine Islam or Buddhism or Confucianism. I don't need to move it off my LDS point to examine Catholicism and what it has, or Eastern Orthodoxy. I can reach out and draw a broad, broad circle and include, and we'll find that there are beautiful people, ideas, truths, many areas. And we'll find that in some spots, they've reached a higher maturity than we have in those areas. And that'll keep us humble and learning from each other. So I would say reach out with a searching foot.
Sometimes I think people may be nervous to learn about other religions because they're worried about how it will impact their own beliefs and their own values. But it seems as though you've had the opposite effect, that learning about other religions and building that respect and that knowledge of other beliefs has strengthened your own beliefs.
Yeah, I think probably I grew up thinking God spoke to the Hebrew prophets, the New Testament, as a Mormon, the Book of Mormon prophets and the Restoration, but was probably a little bit distrustful of things that are out there. We would maybe give a passing idea that, well, some truth got out there, but I was also taught as a boy, God loved all his children. So the two ideas didn't connect, if he loved all his children, but pretty much limited it to the Judeo-Christian tradition. There wasn't a connection. So I believe he gave truth everywhere, good truth, mature truth, high truth in many, many, many areas and many ways. And it has only enhanced my love of Christianity, of the teachings of Christ. It's been a blessing to my life and an enrichment, that's all. I don't think we need to be afraid. We'll see God's footprints all over the world. If he loved the Chinese, he had to give them truth. If he loved those in India, he had to give them truth and goodness, and he did give them. Now, men tinker with it and they add stuff to it. They've done it to Christianity. They've done it to Islam. They've done it to Buddhism. But if you go back to those great original teachings and people, there isn't much that's going to alienate you or make you frightened that it'll challenge your own faith.
Such a fascinating book and a fascinating man. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with us, you can send us an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post them on our Facebook wall today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.